The King Who Refused the Cross. This chapter is based on Acts 25, verse 13 to 27, 26. Festus could do nothing else than send Paul to Rome, but some time passed before a suitable ship could be found. This gave Paul opportunity to present the reasons of his faith before the leaders of Caesarea and also before King Agrippa II. Now, after some days, King Agrippa and Bernice came to Caesarea to greet Festus. Festus outlined the circumstances that led to the prisoner's appeal to Caesar, telling of Paul's recent trial before him, and saying that the Jews had brought some questions against him about their own religion and about a certain Jesus who had died, but whom Paul affirmed to be alive. Agrippa became interested and said, "I also would like to hear the man myself." A meeting was arranged for the following day, and at Festus's command, Paul was brought in. Festus had tried to make this an occasion of impressive display. The rich robes of the procurator and his guests, the swords of the soldiers, and the gleaming armor of their commanders gave brilliance to the scene. And now Paul, in chains, stood before the company. What a contrast! Agrippa and Bernice possessed power and position, but they were completely lacking the character that God values. They were transgressors of his law, corrupt in heart and life. The aged prisoner, chained to his guard, had nothing in his appearance that would lead the world to honor him. Yet in this man, apparently without friends, wealth, or position, all heaven was interested. Angels were by his side. If the glory of only one of those shining messengers had flashed out, the king and court attendants would have been struck to the earth, like the Roman guards at the tomb of Christ. Festus presented Paul to the assembly with the words, "King Agrippa, and all the men who are here present with us, you see this man about whom the whole assembly of the Jews petitioned me, both at Jerusalem and here, crying out that he was not fit to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing deserving of death, and that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I decided to send him. I have nothing certain to write to my lord concerning him. It seems to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not to specify the charges against him." Paul, not intimidated by earthly pomp. Agrippa now gave Paul permission to speak. The apostle was not unsettled by the brilliant display or the high rank of his audience. Earthly pomp could not drain his courage or rob him of his self-control. "I consider myself fortunate that it is before you, King Agrippa, I am to make my defense today against all the accusations of the Jews, because you are especially familiar with all the customs and controversies of the Jews." Paul told the story of his conversion. He described the heavenly vision, a revelation of divine glory, in the midst of which sat enthroned the one whom he had despised and hated, whose followers he was seeking to destroy. From that hour, Paul had been a strong believer in Jesus. With power, Paul outlined before Agrippa the leading events in the life of Christ. He testified that the Messiah had already appeared, as Jesus of Nazareth. The Old Testament scriptures had declared that the Messiah was to appear as a man among men. In Jesus, every specification outlined by Moses and the prophets had been fulfilled. The Son of God had endured the cross and had ascended to heaven triumphant over death. Once it had seemed incredible to Paul that Christ could rise from the dead, but how could he disbelieve what he himself had seen and heard? At the gate of Damascus, he had looked on the crucified and risen Christ. He had seen and talked with him. The voice had told him to proclaim the gospel of a risen Savior, and how could he disobey? Throughout Judea and in regions far away, he had given his witness concerning Jesus the crucified, showing all classes that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. "For these reasons, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come. Worldly great people reject the cross. The whole assembly listened spellbound.
But Festus interrupted the apostle by calling out, "Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad."
The apostle replied, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things."
Then, turning to Agrippa, he spoke to him directly.
"King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets?"
"I know that you do believe."
For the moment, Agrippa forgot his surroundings and dignity. Seeing only the humble prisoner standing before him as God's ambassador, he answered involuntarily,
"You almost persuade me to become a Christian."
The apostle answered, "I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become such as I am," adding, as he raised his bound hands, "except for these chains."
Festus, Agrippa, and Bernice, all guilty of terrible crimes, heard that day the offer of salvation through the name of Christ. One of them, at least, had almost been persuaded to accept. But Agrippa refused the cross of a crucified Redeemer. The king's curiosity was satisfied, and he indicated that the interview was over. Though Agrippa was a Jew, he did not share the blind prejudice of the Pharisees.
"This man," he said to Festus, "might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar."
But the case was now beyond the jurisdiction of either Festus or Agrippa.